While it pursues the construction of a new headquarters, the FBI has completed another impressive structure. Its new biometrics technology center houses 360,000 square feet and a lot of scientific and forensic expertise. Joining me with details, Steve Morris, FBI Assistant Director for Criminal Justice Information Services. Mr. Morris, great to have you on.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the building itself. This is some time in the making, I guess. And tell us about the structure, where it is, and what's inside of it.
Our Biometrics Technology Center is actually a building a little over 400,000 square feet that we have located on our what we call our campus here in Clarksburg, West Virginia. As you know, our CJIS division is located out here in West Virginia. We sit on about 980 acres out here. And the Biometrics Technology Center, or the BTC as we often refer to it, really represents the latest construction project, if you will, or milestone for us out here in at the CJIS division, and really what it represents. It's a brick-and-mortar structure, obviously, that is intended to house not just the FBI, but our partners over at the Department of Defense. And really what it represents for us is clearly an opportunity for us to harness all of our biometrics activities within the FBI under one roof, but also to really to harness on the larger behalf of the U.S. government some of our leading efforts in the field of biometrics. And it's great to have that facility here in West Virginia to be a part of that.
And are there any special construction or building or build-out requirements caused by the biometrics mission in particular?
Not anything in particular as far as specialized. Really, for us, the BTC represents a large effort that, quite frankly, has spanned over the last 10-plus years. Conversations that I remember the FBI being a part of in the early 2000 time frame, where our partnership with DOD really grew, quite frankly, in the post-9/11 environment. And really what the building represents, DOD had a need to be able to grow their program, and they had relocated out here or located out here because of the partnership that we have with them. And so they were in desperate need of some space to operate and to work. And, of course, we were as well. When our original facility was built out here over 20 years ago, it was a short time thereafter, after the building was completed, that we had outgrown it. And we still had folks that were working in off-site locations and different things throughout north central West Virginia that we really needed to get under one roof and to bring them on board. So it was a great opportunity for us to collaborate with DOD to do that. So it really is just more or less having a one roof, one building that we could work under, work together, and quite frankly, capture the synergy that you normally would catch in any sort of task force-like environment. So that's really where the value of this building.
All right, so give us a sense of how the world of biometrics has expanded. I mean, FBI is the original biometric agency with fingerprints, but it's really much more than that nowadays, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Technology is clearly driving the pace of things in most everything we do today. But as it relates to biometrics, you know, that's really a term of art or science that's really come into play in the last decade or so, and we really saw that explosion in that field, you know, in a post-9/11 environment where the U.S. government, not just the FBI, but our law enforcement, our national security partners, DOD, Department of Homeland Security, and the like, really leveraging technology to help identify individuals, whether those were individuals on the battlefield or individuals traveling to our homeland. And obviously, with the FBI's 100-plus years experience in dealing with fingerprints, that's really where the partnership really grew. And then again, to your point, technology in the area of facial recognition, different types of fingerprints, whether it be palm prints or latent print technology. And then we're also looking at, you know, different modalities of biometrics, whether it be voice, iris, DNA, and different things. That technology is really, really expanding. And so that is where the synergy of all of our efforts and all of our missions across the U.S. government really come to bear.
We're speaking with Steve Morris. He's FBI Assistant Director for the Criminal Justice Information Services. What goes on there? Is it primarily that evidence comes into that place and you try to ID people? Or is there some experimental and scientific research going on also in use of biometrics?
I don't know that I would say it's evidence. But what happens here is essentially that the BTC represents our biometrics efforts, and as I mentioned earlier, the different modalities of biometrics. So what we're doing is we're basically leveraging what we do best already, and that is fingerprint identification. So in that building, our staff, pretty much all the staff within the CJIS division, within the FBI that work biometrics-related activities, what we call our legacy services, will work out of that building. The backbone, if you will, of that building will be our next generation identification system, which, as you know, we rolled out in September of 2014 is when we rolled out the full operational capability of that system. And that is really the system that we leverage throughout the world, not only the FBI, but 18,000 local, state, federal, tribal partners that submit fingerprints to the FBI, either for law enforcement purposes or civil background checks and the like. All that work gets processed through our NGI system. So that system provides kind of the backbone for the BTC's operations. And as part of that system, we are also leveraging other technologies. NGI offers us the ability to have a much more robust fingerprint identification system, but also palm prints and latent prints. And we've seen significant growth in that area since rolling out NGI. And then we also offer different services related to NGI, like what we call our risk file. That's our repository for individuals of special concern. And that's kind of the worst of the worst, if you think of it that way. That allows law enforcement officers and folks, public safety officials that are on the streets encountering individuals to do rapid searches of a smaller set of bad guys, if you will. And it gives them a much more rapid response time. They can take a couple fingerprints literally on the side of the street during a traffic stop and search against a smaller set of data that we have with NGI, and that would be the fugitives or sex offenders or different folks that may be wanted. So those are services, and RATBACK is another one you may have heard a little bit about. RATBACK is the ability for agencies or organizations to subscribe to a service where they submit a fingerprint check for an individual's in positions of trust, like daycare workers,
sure,
you know, nursing home officials, school teachers, and the like. They can submit those civil background checks and subscribe to a service where they would be notified if there's any activity or if we get any criminal arrest prints or anything on those individuals. They'd be notified of that. So it's almost like a continuous monitoring effort for other organizations, which is a new service that we've been able to provide through NGI.
And give us a sense of the level of activity there. How many queries come in per day, for example, or how many sets of prints do you get per day? What are the levels like?
It's really early. We just rolled that service out, or we just started providing that service, so we're growing it. I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head in terms of the transactions that we're doing now with RATBACK, but different states are coming online with providing that service through RATBACK, so it's in its infancy. So, again, I don't have the specific numbers, but I'm estimating that we're getting, you know, several thousands of those are coming in on a weekly basis or whatever, but I don't have the exact numbers, Tom. I couldn't tell you that.
And so what do you expect in the future for this whole center? What will be added, and what kind of scope do you envision as you go forward in the next couple of years?
It's hard to predict what technology will offer in the years to come, right? So at least for us, this is a huge step in being able to harness what we've already been doing and also to grow some of those areas that we've started to explore. In addition to the services existing and new, we do see other additional capabilities within NGI. One of the other non-fingerprint things that we're doing with NGI is we now have the capability to do some facial recognition matching, and that is essentially where law enforcement agencies and national security agencies can submit photos that they've gathered pursuant to their investigations. They could submit those much like a fingerprint and ask for a search of our criminal mugshots. We have millions of criminal mugshots in our database, and through leveraging facial recognition, they would get candidates back, or they would get potential candidates back for their biometrics or their facial identity experts to then verify. Basically, it provides a lead for those agencies to follow up on, and that's on the facial recognition side of the house. And as I alluded to earlier, we've been piloting or studying and looking at the feasibility and practical application as far as iris technology. And that's another one of those modalities that could be leveraged through NGI. So the pace and the success of those technologies will kind of dictate what the future holds for us. But also, too, we have a program that we work out of that building, our Biometric Center of Excellence. It's more of a program that's kind of our research and development arm, if you will. And that's a group of folks that we have that work very closely with private industry and the National Institute of Standards and Technology, as well as academia and all of those, to look at what technologies are out there from a biometric standpoint that could be possibly leveraged and utilized by law enforcement and national security. So those folks also work out of that building, and they're kind of our forward-leaning, like I said, our R&D arm for the biometrics field. So
And a final question, what's it like in terms of quality of life to be in West Virginia when headquarters is so far away and will continue to be far away?
Obviously, it's a great place to live and work, West Virginia, and being several hours or you know 4 hours away from headquarters. The independence is always great.
It's got its virtues being that far away, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. So this is my third time or third tour, if you will, being assigned to Sieges Division, and there's a reason for that because I keep coming back as long as they'll have me, and it's just a great place to live. It's a great place to work. Quality of life and the quality of work, quite frankly, is some of the most gratifying in the Bureau, so it's a great place to be.
Steve Morris is FBI Assistant Director for Criminal Justice Information Services. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.